Let's walk the talk. 7:02.
24 minutes to go before we get to 7 o'clock. Very interesting conversation that we just came out of. But we're moving right along into our next feature. That's, of course, the health feature. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Now, earlier on, I made a bit of a mistake. I made a bit of a boo-boo. I said we're going to talk about World Retina Day. That's not what we're discussing. What we will be talking about instead with Dr. Fundile Nyati, CEO of Proactive Health Solutions, instead is World Contraception Day. Now, the 26th of September. September is World Contraception Day, a day meant to raise awareness about contraception and safe sex. This comes as teen pregnancies in South Africa jump 60%. Huh? Yo. During the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the new figures released last month from the Gauteng Department of Health show that more than 23,000 girls aged under the age of 18 gave birth between April 2020 and March 2021, of which 934 were aged under the age of 14. This morning, we interrogate the importance of discussing the option of contraceptives with children. And I think it's a very relevant conversation. I saw one of the big things doing the rounds of social media, for example, is former mayor of Johannesburg, Herman Mashaba, and current leader of, what is this party called? I forgot now. Action SA. Talking about how we're obsessing about sex and instead of giving young people skills. And quite frankly, I don't think that we need to assist teens or young people or the youth or whoever to obsess about sex. It's part of their process and their development. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with them. It's to be expected. And just a conversation last night with Dr. Eve, we were talking about how we tend to, in our communities, in our families, remain silent on the issue of sex. And I think, quite frankly, this is the net result of that silence, of not talking about this. But to help us obviously navigate through this is Dr. Fundile Nyati. Good morning to you, Doctor, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Gashel, and good morning to your listeners.
Am I correct? I mean, that part of the problem is exactly that we're very conservative and tend to steer clear of it, and that some of our political leaders are going as far as saying that whenever we try to provide any form of sex education through, say, the public education system or the public health system, that suddenly we're making young people obsessed with sex and therefore we're having this issue. But the opposite is true. We need to actually educate them. We need to provide them with the information so that they can make choices that are good for themselves and their partners.
You're very right. You're very right. You know, I think as adults, and here I include politicians, but also, church leaders and parents in general, I think we are we have a serious discomfort to discuss matters of reproductive health or sexual health, including matters of use of contraception. And because we have this fear about this topic, we tend to just adopt the conservative stance, the ostrich approach, putting our heads under the sand, hoping that this thing is going to pass away. So yes, people like Mashaba are actually, causing a lot of damage, because many NGOs are actually saying we need to get the young people to get the information and also have access to these contraceptives.
Most certainly, and unfortunately, and it's a very complex issue, right? Very, very complex conversation that comes about, because obviously the focus then falls on teen pregnancy, that immediately falls on young women, young girls, because they sort of are highlighted, because unfortunately, in based on biology, they are the ones that tend to carry the overall results of pregnancy, and that's to some extent then shifts it to young women. But I guess that there's just basic practicalities behind it that then when we talk about contraception, that we think of women first.
Exactly, and it's one of those imbalances out there when it comes to conversations around teenage pregnancies, because the focus is on the girls, but the girls don't fall pregnant alone. I mean, there is somebody who engage in that unprotected sexual intercourse with the girl, and that is the boys, or even worse, adults. And in a country like South Africa with a lot of GBV, with a lot of rape, underage rape, then it's a problem. So the conversation should actually go beyond just the girls to look at the problems in society about how men behave, you know, how we raise our boys, you know. And so, it's a bigger problem than just the girls. But at the end of the day, the people who take the brunt of the problem is the girls. And when they fall pregnant, the levels of ill health and even possible death of those young girls during pregnancy and during delivery is much, much higher. You know, so it is a problem that we cannot ignore. It's a big social health problem in South Africa. At least 16%, you know, of the births in South Africa are actually between the 15 to 19, you know, age bracket, and that is not good. But we also know that there are those under the age of 15 who are actually falling pregnant, which is even scarier.
You know, what I find fascinating about this then is we need to create or we need to have a comprehensive response then, Doctor, to this issue. I mean, how do we go about having a comprehensive response that does deal with, A, yes, the need for actual contraception methods and means while simultaneously providing the education, changing attitudes, and holding young men responsible as well, equally to respond?
I'm again agreeing with you that, you know, this problem is a multifaceted problem. I mean, one needs to understand what are the drivers of this kind of problem. And the drivers, they go beyond just, you know, the issues of access to contraceptives. You know, I've mentioned, you know, the issue of GBV, the issue of substance abuse, the issue of poverty, the issue of gender inequality. Those are all social problems that are driving this problem. And also the attitudes of the parents or guardians towards matters of sexual and reproductive health, including access to contraceptives, is a big problem. Some parents believe that by creating awareness and knowledge about matters of reproductive and sexual health and also about contraceptives, it's a way of encouraging the kids to actually get to be sexually active. Yet, actually, the more knowledgeable kids are about these matters, the better the choices that they can make.
No, indeed. And I guess that's an important issue that we then need to, you know, highlight. And I think that needs to be encouraged by all means, is that we need to provide young people with the necessary information. They need to have the necessary education, ultimately, so that they can make the correct choices for themselves, as you mentioned, and also on a public health level. When we talk about contraception, I mean, there's many categories that we can talk about, isn't it? Where ultimately, you know, you have a situation, for example, whereby we know that there are contraception, you know, I think at the very basic, condoms, for example, you know, don't just prevent pregnancies, but they also simultaneously protect you against STIs and STDs. HIV comes to mind immediately, and, you know, maybe it's because of what I remember and recall with our struggle against HIV and AIDS. Simultaneously, you also have other forms, whether it be a pill, whether it be, you know, a minor procedure, et cetera, et cetera. What are we looking at? What is the most effective means? And should we go then with the condom route? Should we go with the tablet route, the injection or the whatever?
Yes. Well, you know, there are many options that are out there. And I think one thing that's very important for people to understand is that in South Africa, since 2001, provision of contraceptives have been free in the public health system. And, you know, the government continues to update, you know, the options that are available. For example, there's something now that we call the implants, you know, that are put on one's shoulder and they actually provide contraception, and you change them maybe, you know, every, you know, 3 years or so. So South Africa is doing a good job in terms of making sure that these things are freely available. However, the use is another matter. There are big issues around parents or guardians supporting access to these contraceptives. So you've mentioned the barrier methods, which is the condom usage or the use of femidoms, which not only prevent pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies, but also, you know, the STIs. You've got the also access to the oral contraceptive tablets, which are quite effective. But with the younger people, we tend not to really encourage them because you need to be disciplined to use oral contraceptives. You must use them every day at the same time. And that tends to be a problem. So the injectables are also a very good option for, especially the younger ones, you know, the 3-month injection or the 2-month injection, because at least you know that after that injection, there isn't something that they need to do. Obviously, you still encourage condom usage or femidom usage over and above that, because you want them not to get STIs. There's also, you know, obviously in the older age group, the use of loops, you know, that is materials that are put inside the womb that emit chemicals that make it difficult for a fertilized egg to actually implant. But we don't really like to encourage those amongst the young people because of some of the risks associated with that, which include infection of the womb. So the options are there, but the problem is there's low levels of awareness about contraceptives. There's a lot of misinformation also about contraceptives. Others believe that when you use contraceptives, then they will actually negatively affect your ability to fall pregnant later in life. They will cause some damage to your womb. Yet that is not true. And so the low levels of awareness about these contraceptives and the options that are out there, and you also look at the unfriendliness of some of the health facilities, where some of the nurses who work in these facilities, they actually shame these kids who do come forward to access these things. So I think there has to be a total look at, you know, the health services for reproductive health for, you know, young girls.
No, most certainly. And I think part of the problem is exactly that. I was going to ask you about some of those issues as well, because it's something that constantly comes up, you know, where, you know, you constantly hear about how these, you know, young women present themselves to maybe, for example, get condoms, you know, or any form of contraception for that matter, and they rather get a lecture. As opposed to assisting them with it. So one thing that stands out for me, and it's the elephant in the room, we have to discuss it and look at it, is the issue of COVID-19 and the impact that COVID-19 has had on these numbers. I mean, a jump in 60% is quite shocking and phenomenal, to be quite honest. I mean, what does it tell us? Because then clearly we need to also have a societal solution here. It's not just simply getting the contraceptives to these young people, but it really tells us a hell of a lot about the society that we live in.
Well, you know, the issue of pregnancies, teenage pregnancies during the COVID-19 period, it's also a worrying one. Other people, they're actually talking about a double pandemic, because whilst we are battling the COVID-19 pandemic and all the issues that come with it, we have seen an explosion in terms of the teenage pregnancies and even preteen pregnancies. And part of the reason is that whilst, you know, people were going through all the problems of the pandemic, we started to see an increase in GBV, an increase in the rape, you know, of women and girls. And so that's one of the drivers that we have seen, you know, as men, you know, have been battling with the psychological impact of, you know, the pandemic. They have then looked at, you know, things like alcohol and other substances some form of escapism from the problems that they are going through. And through the use of the substances, they have then, you know, gotten involved in GBV, they've gotten involved in rape, you know, of even underage girls. So that's a societal problem that we need to address. But at a health system level, because of fear of contracting COVID-19, there has been a reluctance by many young women to actually go to health facilities to access a contraceptive tablet. And that is a problem. And not only for contraceptive, but for all chronic illnesses as well. We're seeing this with HIV, the number of people who are, you know, using their treatments, you know, and are consistent on their treatment has gone down. Hypertension, diabetes, and also people are presenting late with many other conditions like cancers. So it's been a general problem that besides COVID-19, everything else has, you know, the standards we had before have gone down. Also, the same has been seen with contraceptive tablets. The access to healthcare facilities to access these contraceptives has actually gone down. So we need a broader societal solution to the drivers, but also we need to make a call to the health facilities that as much as they have to deal with COVID, but they must also recognize that there are other health challenges that need to be dealt with that cannot wait for the pandemic to come to an end.
And I'm sure you'll agree with me, Doctor, just as a final point there, is that we really do need to deal with it on a societal level then, because then it shows that during COVID-19, where the home was supposed to be the refuge, keeping you safe from this pandemic, it clearly became unsafe in many instances. I mean, I'm looking at this 934 children under the age of 14 who fell pregnant. I mean, you know, one can't argue anything else there but the fact that this is, you know, this is, you know, strictly legally speaking, I mean, that's statutory rape. You know, these are young people that were obviously taken advantage of. So I take it that you know, that in itself just shows that on a societal level we need to deal with this. So I guess World Contraception Day goes beyond just simply making sure that people have access to it, but it also goes to the fact that we need to deal with our society and how we think and you know, how young women are then exposed to sexual abuse ultimately. But we'll have to leave it there, Dr. Nyathi. Thank you so much for your time this morning.